I had a kind of had a time with this because I wanted to get back to the ascension in Acts, the study of Acts, and the more I studied it, the more the Lord changed my thinking and my mind. And so I pray that I'm obedient to Him, because most all people, you know, they love gifts. Some like to give gifts, but mostly all likes to receive gifts. Did you know that in 2011, America spent over $6 billion, that's B with a billion, on lights for Christmas. In 2014 census or survey, it was said 2 years earlier in 2012 that the average family spent $790 on gifts alone. And it's also stated that more than 1 out of 10 of those shoppers bought their Christmas in September. And we wonder why in the world the stores open in August. That's why, folks, so that they can get all the business they can. But you know what? The thing that is so sad is many buy gifts and they exchange gifts and they have no real idea of what Christmas is all about. Have no earthly idea what it's all about. Tonight, as we look at a passage of Scripture, and I want us to look at two of them if we can, and we'll look, see what God would have us to say and to do. I'm reminded of the story as I thought about sitting there on the pew about the man that had to go to town or the big city and spend the night, and it was Saturday night, and so he stayed Sunday and went to church in town, one of those big uptown churches, and so he went to church and everything went through all right. He come back home, and his wife was asking him about it. Says, "Well, did you go to church?" He said, "Yes, I did." Says, "Well, what kind of service was it?" "Well, it was all right." She says, "What about the singing?" He says, "Well, they sung contemporary music." And she says, "Contemporary? What is that?" He said, "Well, it's like this." He says, "If I told you that I say Martha the cow is in the corn, if they sung it to you, it would be Martha, 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 oh, Martha, 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 the cows, Martha, 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 the cows is in the corn." So she got the picture. Anyhow. But anyhow, the thing about church and worship, especially at Christmas, is we understand and we want to look at the Christmas story because it has a message. And you know, some people say it's just old hat, same thing over and over, but when you study the Word of God and look in the Word of God, I think it says something to us at times.
It speaks to us, and that's what makes it the Word of God. So tonight, as we look together at the passage of Scripture in Luke the 2nd chapter verse 7, I'm not going to ask you to stand if you do not want to, and then also we're going to recite John 3:16.
Luke 2:7. Are you there? Are you ready? It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Eternal life, if you please. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we are so honored to be able to come around your throne of grace. Oh God, we thank you that it is because we have the access to you. You said we are to approach you and to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, we come tonight realizing our inadequacy, realizing, Lord, that we're none worthy of all the blessings and the goodness and the things you have made possible within our lives. For us just to catch a glimpse tonight, oh God, of being a child of yours would make worship all worthwhile. So, Father, tonight as we come, we pray that you would open the ears of our understanding, open our minds and our hearts, oh God, that you may speak to us from your word and out of your word, that we may be the people you'd have us to be, changed into that individual that you can use for your glory. I pray, oh God, tonight that you would just magnify and manifest yourself and your glory as the Holy Spirit of God takes control of this time together, each of our hearts, each of our lives, oh God. I pray that you would do that. And I pray, oh God, once again that through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring the conviction that's necessary in our life and help us to recognize and understand what it means to be in tune with you. And Lord, especially at this season of the year where we come to celebrate and to exalt you and to lift you up for what you have done for us and accomplished for us by sending your Son into this evil, wicked world. And Father, tonight as we come to you, we pray, oh, once again that you'll take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you'll speak through them the truth of your word. You'll anoint them with the power of your Spirit that they may speak the unction that you give. Lord, I ask tonight that everything that's said and done would be in accordance to your will. We thank you for the singing already tonight, those words that spoke of Jesus and his coming into this world. And help us, Lord, tonight as we look to get this passage of Scripture and the message, that you would quicken our hearts and our lives, that we may be the people you've called us to be for your honor and your glory. And I pray, oh God, once again, that you'll let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for your sake and your glory. Amen and amen. As we look together at the passage of Scripture, and I thought about the message, and I titled the message, Three Unexpected Gifts Given at Christmas. And I want to say this before we get into the message, that these three unexpected gifts that were given at Christmas, they're those kind of gifts that keeps on giving and keeps on giving and keeps on giving. And so tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture, those three things. The first thing we want to look at is the presentation of the gift of love. We recited together John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him as a gift to the world. He was a gift to the world. When we think about through him and because of him and by him, we can come to know and have salvation, because it is only through him. Let me tell you, it is only through him that we can have that salvation, that deliverance from ourself, deliverance from hell itself. And the thing about it is when we come to know him, that there's something else that transpires in our life. Because when we come to know him and understand who he is, we need to realize that it's because of what God has accomplished. Because Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we realize that it is a gift. And when we think about this, first of all, there's the presentation of the gift of love. We read that scripture there. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The first thing is that we see that God loved the world. He did, he will, he does, and it means that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He is the present for you, if you please, because in knowing him and responding to him, there is forgiveness, there's life, there's joy, there's peace. And let me tell you something, there's heaven, because see, in the person of him, this is a demonstration of heaven brought down in him. So as we think about this and as we look at this passage, we see first of all that it's a wrapped gift. It says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. This is very unlikely, because of what it was. It was really burial clothes. And so it speaks of his death, even in his birth. So she wrapped him. Notice the expression of this gift of love. Listen to me. He, Jesus, is the full expression of God's love. That is heaven's best for us tonight, as we come to understand that Jesus made possible for us that we can know and have him as our part of our being, as we respond to him and invite him into the confines of heart. Yes, the expression of this gift of love. He is the fullest expression of it. God did not send an angel. He did not send some leftover, but he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, and that's a gift of love. See, why did he do that? Because, see, we did not need to turn over a new leaf. There's a lot of religions today. They say all you need to do is turn over a new leaf. But my friend, we don't need to turn over a new leaf. God knew that we needed a new life. And that is a person of Jesus Christ. And it's only through him. And see this gift of love. Notice the expectation of this gift of love. Boy, you talk about taking the world by surprise. When God allowed his son to be born there in Bethlehem, he took the world by surprise. They were all surprised. If we looked at that today, would Bethlehem responded different if they had have known? Do you think they would have responded different if they had would have known that the very Son of God, the Messiah, would have been born there? Don't you think that they would have had a room down at the hospital that had the best pediatrician on call there to see? But see, they were taken by surprise, unexpected. And let me tell you something. Did you know many times that that's the way God works? God's in the business of doing those things that is unexpected. I mean, he's full of those things, and we need to understand that. So the expectation of God's love today, people want to live in a perfect world, but did you know what? They will not respond to the perfect gift of God in his son. If we want a perfect world, I believe the only way that will ever happen is to come to know the perfect Son of God. That is according to the Word of God. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. So the expectation of this gift of love. But there's also, we need to notice the expense of that gift of love. According to the society, standards there in Bethlehem would have been voted the most least likely to have him born there. Now, when you think about the expense of that, we know that what had transpired before, God had spoke to Mary, told her through the angel Gabriel that she was going to be with child of the Holy Ghost, and because of that, she runs into Martha. What is Zachariah's wife's name? Elizabeth. I'll get it right directly. Elizabeth. We had a. One time in a church in Fort Leonard, somebody was reading something about Christmas stories. She come to that term, Elizabeth. She said, Elzebeth. But it's Elizabeth. And the thing about it is, she went to see Elizabeth. And you know, so we read that. We just kind of take it kind of haphazardly light. We think she just ran across the street and made it through the courtyard there. Across. But it was nearly 100 miles to where Elizabeth lived. And here she went all that way because, see, she wanted, as she had been told, that Elizabeth was with child. And we know that when she went there, we see the declarations and the things that followed. And some people say, well, you know, she was just a dumb girl. But no, she wasn't dumb, because if you look at her song there, the song that she recited, it includes over 40 passages out of the Old Testament. She didn't have a Bible to go around and carry with her. She knew those by heart. She had studied those, and she speaks of those things, which speaks of the Messiah because of what she said there to Elizabeth. And the thing about it is the expense of going, the expense of Jesus Christ and his coming. When you look at this, we see that it was the most unlikely place to a most unlikely woman. And at least as we look at with a place that had the world's least power, so that I believe it happened that way, so that the least, the last, and the lost among us can know and understand that the door of salvation is being opened for people who will respond to him just like you and me. So we can thank God for that, can we not? So we see the expense of the life, this gift of love and life. And there's several things that we can see in that. How do we measure? How do we measure a gift? How do we measure life? Let's just say, how do we measure life? We measure life many times by what we think it may be worth. That's what it's is that not what it's gauged at today? How much money somebody's got in the bank? The kind of things that they have, that they say that they're on? But let me tell you something. When we understand this gift, there's absolutely no price tag that you can put on this gift. There's no price tag that you can really put on the gift of life itself. No, because, see, it comes from God. And it is a gift sublime and supreme because of what God can do. If we look at the arrival in this town, the questions I think then and now is really the question is who cared? Who cared? We see that as they came into town, there was no room. That's what it says. The innkeeper had no hint of idea about what was going to take place. Nobody else in town, even though this census was something that was one of those things that was, caused a bunch of business in town, but they did not understand, and they suggest their whole philosophy, the whole thinking of life is who cares? You know what? That is just about the philosophy of the world today, is it not? Who cares? Who cares? But if they had known that this Mary of Nazareth was going to deliver the Messiah, believe me, I believe it would have been different. Don't you? Been different. Not only to look at the arrival in the town, but also need to look at the action of Jesus' life or in Jesus' life. Not much now, but just wait. Just wait as he lived out love. I'm talking about lived out real love. What is this? What are we talking about? What kind of love? In the process of what God is going to show and relate through him, he is going to demonstrate through the life of Jesus just how much he loves you and me, how much he cares for you and me. That's why it says there in John 3, 6, for God so loved the world that he took action. He took action because he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would embrace him, come to him, could have real life because they know the love. See the action in Jesus' life, not much now as a child, but just wait. He's going to live out what real love is, the God kind of love, and he is that love himself. So we see that. But there's another thing. We also needed to look at the way of the atonement all the way to Calvary because, see, not only is his birth, his behavior, but the burden that he bore speaks volumes and volumes and volumes to each one, each forgiven one, because, see, we come to know that Jesus suffered. He came to suffer and to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. There's a phrase in Scripture, 16 little words, in Luke 10:19-10, and it sums up real the Christmas story. And that is, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, he came for a purpose, and that was to search his the search party of God, to search out and to seek and to find those and to bring them into a relationship with Almighty God. See, the thing about this, the atonement there at Calvary, it is off the screen. Why? Because, see, there's more to it than what we pick up here. You see this in the birth of Jesus, in what he says there. What made it different? Where am I at in my outline? I don't even know. What difference does it make? The atonement at Calvary, B, it was a warm gift. Life is warm, is it not? When you caress that baby to you, you feel the warmth of that baby. Why is it different? Why is this different? Let me tell you something. Life is something that brings warmth, and love is that which makes it, keeps it warm, if you please, in the bosom of our heart and our being. And that's what makes it so different. So we see in this gift, the first thing was love, the very love of God. The next thing is the profusion of light of God in this gift. The scripture says, the world sit in darkness. The term sit means to be complacent there, to enjoy it if you please. And that's exactly the way the world was. If you go back and you study this, Judaism had no prophet for over 400 years. Nothing from God, no word from God, but yet they were looking for the Messiah. And here in the darkness and the dismal time when Jesus came on the scene, see, the thing about it was, now light is coming to the world. Light has come forth. And let me tell you something. No prophet for 100 years, but the Son of Righteousness comes forth, the Bible says, with healing in his wings. Glory, hallelujah. Isaiah 9:2 talks about this light that has dawned upon the dark land. If you turn and look at that scripture. This light that has dawned, in other words, it's opened up a new vision, a new visible side of it to see and to be made known. And then we know that in Isaiah 60, verse 11, he says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come." When we understand the prophecy there in Isaiah, it speaks of Jesus as the light of the world. And we know that that's true because Jesus said that in John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world." But turn back to John just a moment, John the third chapter. Let's continue there in a verse or two. John the third chapter. Look what it says in verse, what have I got up there? 19 through 21. Look at it. It says, "And this is the condemnation." What condemnation? The condemnation. This is the condemnation that what? That light is coming to the world and men love what? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made open or available, accessible, seen, if you please. But look what it says in verse 21. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or brought into fruition, that they are wrought in God." What is John saying there? He is saying that now light has come. In John 1, it says, "This the light come into darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." It does not have the power to overcome that light. And Jesus came as a profusion of light of God in the gift that he was there in Bethlehem. When you look at that and you study it very closely, we see something very unique about this. If you go back to John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." The term "begotten" there is monogene. The term "mono" we know means one. Gene means genes, or even we could get DNA. What is it? DNA from it? The same aspect of that, because he is one of a kind. He is unique. There has not been one like him, and they never ever will be one like him, because he is the only begotten Son of God. And when we understand that, that's why God had in his plan all the time to save mankind by this unique one, this one of a kind, because he was going to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. That's why John said, as I be brought this morning, that's why John said there to Ben, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Not cover it, but take it away. See, when we understand that he is unique, he's one of a kind, he is the only one. He is divine and he is human. He is one of a kind. So in the sense of this, we know that the profusion of the light of this gift, this God's gift that's given to us, we can see in him light. I thought about that today. I was sitting around just trying to meditate over the message. Those wise men, as she sung a while ago about the light, those wise men were guided by a star. You know why they were guided by a star? I don't know. I thought you may know. They were guided by a star because it showed different. It was different. It was light, or showed more light than any other thing. And the thing that stuck with my thought in my mind was, here we see they were guided to where Jesus was. He was not in the manger. He was in the house at that time. But they guided him there. And let me tell you something. That star that was in that manger is still shining today, folks. The star that guided those wise men, that made him known to them, is the same one that through your faith and trust in who he is and what he come to do, he can guide your life, because he is a star. You can trust your car to the one that wears the star, but you better trust your heart and your soul to the one who made the stars. Amen? Amen for that. Thing about it is he is light. He says, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. The third thing is the provision of life of God in this gift. First of all, let me say very plainly, apart from the gift, there is no life. Apart from Jesus Christ, that gift, there is no life. You may live, but you'll never have life. Some people live to be over 100, but do they ever come to Jesus to know what real life is all about? Many of them do not. But I will say that you'll never, ever know what life really is until you come to the Lord of life. See, in this provision of life of God, in this gift, we see that in and through this life, this new life, as a legal provision. In John 12, there it says, He came into His own, and His own received them not, but as many as received them, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. The term there, power, is a legal term. It's a legal term out of the court system, and it means with the highest authority. So what it is saying really, that in who Jesus is as the light, that it's been spoken. The highest court has spoken. The verdict's been announced. Brother, let me tell you something. This court is much higher than the Supreme Court today. They may be doing everything they can to down Christianity and the Bible and the Word of God and even the nativity thing. But let me tell you something. God's court is much higher than theirs. And one day, He's going to have the last word. He's going to have the last word. So there's the legal provision. But then there's also the parental provision. As we know in Bible times, if we go back and study the customs and manners of Bible times, in those times the father many times spoke for the children. He would question them or something that had to be, something that had to be hashed out. He would speak with those children, and whoever it was against or for, whatever it was, he would speak to that person. He was the one who had authority, and he would speak. And let me tell you something. That tells us something. As he spoke for the children then, there's no question that we can come up with that he does not know. And he, the Father, speaks for us. He speaks for us because he loves us and cares for us. And let me tell you something, Mr. Devil. You can get off and get away because you cannot bring anything against me, because I'm not going to try to defend myself, because the Father already has and will. Amen. He'll speak for us. He will taste taking care of it for us. So he speaks for his children. No questions asked. It is final what he says. So we can thank God for that. But then there's the merciful provision. When I say merciful provision, we need to understand that Jesus demonstrated in his light as he showed mercy upon individual after individual after individual, as he worked and met the needs of those that were living in darkness, those who were blind. He gave light and life so that they could see. And the thing about it is we need to recognize that he is a merciful Savior. Amen? I read the story of this missionary who went to a village. And in this village, it was a royal English village. It was called White Way, and she saw there these older people that live in a certain section of that village. And so she went and she asked one of the ladies out doing something. She asked her, says, well, does the queen ever come by to visit with y'all? And she says, oh yes, she comes by frequently. And so that kind of soothed her. Then she got to think about, well, I wonder if she's a Christian. And so she asked her, she says, well, does the King of Kings ever come by here? She says, no, the King of Kings does not come by here. He abides here. He lives in my heart. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let me tell you something. When we understand the fullness of what Jesus made possible for us as that merciful Savior, the one who cared for us and cares all about us, we can understand that these three gifts, the love, the light, and the life, are those gifts that keep on giving and keep on giving. And you know what? They have fringe benefits that goes with them. If you go to the Galatians, the 6th chapter, and you read there the fruit of the Spirit, you see this. Because of love, God's love within you can bring you and give you peace. His love can bring and give you peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Listen to me. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know what you may be facing tomorrow, but I will assure you by the authority of God's word that his love can bring and speak peace to your very being. Not only that, because of light, God's light within, you can have a hope that is steadfast and sure, not some haphazard thinking way off somewhere else, but I'm talking about something that is real and genuine in the here and now. And we know that Jesus Christ is that hope. Because of life, God's light, life within you, you can have joy, real joy, everlasting joy, as well as the other gifts of the Spirit there, which is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And because of that, because of those gifts that God made possible there on that first Christmas, we can understand and have all this. Put up the last thing, please. Christmas means that he was born that we may be born again, John 3, 2 and 7. He descended that we might ascend, John 6, 38 and also 14, 3, if you want to read those. He became poor that we might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, that's what it says. He became a servant that we may become a son, Galatians 4, 6, and 7. He had no home that you and I might have a home in heaven, John 14, 2. He was stripped and beaten and we were clothed and blessed, Galatians 3, 27. He was forsaken that we would never be forsaken, Matthew 28, 20. He was also bound that you and I might go free, John 8, 32 and 36. He was made sin that we could be made righteousness and righteousness of God, 1 Corinthians 5, 21. He died that you might live, John 5, 24 and 25. He came down. Oh, that one day when he comes back, we're going to be caught up to go with him, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. He gave gifts that first Christmas that keeps on giving and giving and giving. The question tonight, have you received him and then? Because, see, you cannot receive them without receiving him. That's just the way it is. Psalm 36, 9 says this, "For with thee is the foundation of life. In thy light shall we see light." Now, let that sink in for just a moment. "For with thee is the foundation of life. In thy light shall we see light." Apart from God's love, you cannot know life and you cannot have and know what light is all about. The light of God. The light that guides and directs and leads us and guides us. But tonight, because of him, you can know that. There's a song I love in the hymnal about Christmas. It says, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the days had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along through unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. I said, there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Verse 4 says, "Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing's on its way, the world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men." See, God made possible for all mankind to have goodwill. And it's through Jesus Christ. Do you know him tonight? Let's pray together. Father, we are so indebted to you and so thankful to you for all that you've made possible. Thank you, Lord, for that gift that was wrapped for us, laid there in that manger, feeding trough, because he is the bread of life. In that town called Bethlehem, because it means the house of bread. And we can come to him and we can find him the needed sustenance for our very life, to give us life and living. Lord, tonight I do not know hearts here, but you do, and I pray that you would work as only you can, bring about that which is needful and right, and help us always to trust you and to be open and submissive to your will. Whatever decision needs to be made here tonight, God, I pray that you would just move into that life and on that heart and help them to respond to your call and your love, to be obedient to you. In Jesus' strong name we pray, and for his sake and glory, amen. Hymn of invitation.